How's your love life? That's a serious question. That's what we're going to talk about this morning as we are starting a new series today, a topical series on love and marriage, and we're planning to run that for a couple of weeks. And so, there's a couple of things that I really just want to make sure that I say before we start off on this topic, because it is quite a huge thing. First of all, you know, I'm not an expert on marriage, right? I've only been married for like 10 years. So I'm not here to give you, you know, these 5 points that will sort out your whole life and your marriage and everything like that. I'm not here to give you some kind of thing like that, to give you a couple of pointers or to give you my take on it. I'm not here to tell you about all my failures so you can laugh and we can have a great entertainment session. That's not really what we are here for. This morning, my heart's desire is to give you the biblical perspective, God's perspective on dating, on marriage, on parenting, on those kind of things. And so that's what we want to look at, you know. So I really want to be an outside of the picture. The thing is, as you know, I also know that it's going to be difficult for many people. Just looking at what God desires in His Word is so different from what we desire as people in the world, because we've been influenced by so many things. And so as we're going to be talking about these things, I know there's, you know, probably be a lot to deal with for some people. I think most, if not all of us, you know, we'll be challenged in some kind of way, and it will be hard. It may be emotional, you know. There will be a lot of things. And so, in the one sense, you know, I'm sort of very scared to talk about this, but, you know, this is what God has for us. And I want to, because I love you as your pastor, I want to tell that to you right from the beginning. I love you all. And my heart's desire is to give you God's truth so that you can walk in His light and do things His way. And so, don't let the enemy bring any condemnation on you, anything like that. I want to talk to you in love. I want to talk to you in sincerity, but I also want to talk to you in truth and explain to you what the Bible teaches about these things. And so, I've entitled the series, Love and Marriage. You know, not thinking about the old Sinatra song that, you know, goes together like a horse and carriage kind of thing, but it actually goes together much more closer than that. You know, love and marriage cannot really be separated. Those two are glued together. And so, if you look at the picture, you'll see the love. You know, the marriage is not supposed to look like that. Your marriage is not supposed to be broken and sort of broken up like that. But that's the whole idea. We're going to be looking at the love that comes from God and then, you know, how that influences everything else that we do. But before we can start talking now about dating and marriage and parenting and all those great things, we need to understand that there's a foundation. First things first, there's some things we have to talk about that has to be understood in before we can go on to any of these other things. We have to understand where it comes from. We have to understand what the design of it is. And we have to start with love. That's the only place we can really start. And so this morning, I've entitled it Starting in Love. And so if you want to take note on that, you can also open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. As we're going to be reading there from verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 7. You know, everyone is looking for love. Everyone's talking about love. I think it's one of those subjects, you know, that everyone has to do at some time in their life. There's innumerable books written on love. There are innumerable songs. If you just think about most of the songs that you sang as you grew up as a teenager, it had in some kind of way had to do with love. People love to sing about love. That's just one of those things. It's a subject that is so important to many people. It's one of man's greatest needs is true love. That's what we need as people. It's our desires. Yet also it's one of the most misunderstood things on the planet. And it's so sad because that's what God has for us is true love, and somehow we don't really understand what it's all about. You know, dictionary.com defines love as this. It says it's a profoundly tender, passionate affection for one another. Number two, it says it's a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection as for a parent, child, or a friend. And then number three, it says it's a sexual passion or desire. And then they go on and they list 27 meanings of love, you know. And I read through all of them. And I'm just thinking, you know, they still sort of miss it. It's like, I love you. I love my wife. I love my dog. I love ice cream. You know, there's sort of there's a huge difference between, but we use the word love for all those kind of things. And love is an important thing that we talk about so much. So what is love? Who is right? You know, whose definition is correct? Which one of these definitions that you can find on dictionary.com or somewhere is the correct definition of love? I think to find that out, you know, to really answer that question, we have to go back to where it started. You know, where does love come from? And like all good things, we know that love comes from God. So open your Bibles there in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So in that first few verses, we see a couple of important things. Love is of God. And then it goes on and it says, God is love. That is the Bible's definition of what love is. You see, love originated with God. God calls Himself love. That's where it started. It's not an idea that came from people on the earth. It started with God. And the word there in the Greek is the word agape. And I think you know by now what that word agape means. The specific kind of love that we're talking about. A self-giving, self-sacrificing love that gives without demanding or expecting repayment in any kind of way. That's the kind of love that we're talking about. You see, that's sort of the God kind of love. That's true love. That's real love. That's the original love. That's the love that comes from God. And this is a place, I think, if we want to look at any other kind of relationship that we have with people on this earth, this is where we have to start, with God's love, you know, where it came from. In verse 9 to verse 11 there of that part we just read, it says, "In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And then He says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So this is then where we have to start. This is the foundation, I believe, of everything else that we're going to be studying over the next couple of weeks. This is the foundation. That's why it's so important that you are here for this first session, because everything revolves around this. We know, obviously, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 explains very much in detail what this love is all about. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 1 to 3 tell us that everything is meaningless without this love. Anything. So no matter what kind of relationship you want to pursue or approach or do, no matter what, if you don't have the true agape love, it's meaningless. You're not going to get it right. You see, that's where it all starts. It all starts with God's love who came down for us. And so, great, we understand that part now. You know, where God's, that love is from God. But if we want to do it right, we have to find out what God's way is. And so, if you are taking note, the first one there is, what is love that we looked at? The second one that we're going to be looking at now is God's design. God's design. So if you want to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, today you're going to be paging a lot. Matthew chapter 22, from verse 37. Jesus is the one speaking here. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two, the commandments, hang all the law and the prophets." So this is what the Bible tells us. This is God's design. He made the love to be there among us. He's the one who gave us love, but now He's got a certain way. He's got a certain design. He says, "You shall take this love, and you shall first of all love Me, God Almighty, with all your heart, your soul, your strength, everything that you are, and then you shall love those people around you, like yourself." That's God's design. You see, and from this we build all the relationships. In John 13, verse 34 to 35, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another." And so as God's child, we must take this love that He has given to us, and we must demonstrate, we must do this, we must use it in everything else that we do. And I think that's the bottom line. And I keep repeating this for a reason, because I think it's so important. We think, oh sure, you know, love everyone. But that is truly the bottom line for every foundation of every relationship that we have, is true agape love. It affects every relationship that you'll have. You see, it's God's design for marriage, for friendship, for parenting. And the trick is to do it like God says, to do it as it says in His Word. Walking with Jesus as a Christian is about loving Him with every action, with every word, and with every deed. And you say, well, that's quite hard, you know, and I know it's quite hard for any one of us. Because we are surrounded by the flesh, we're living in a world that is totally contrary to the things of Scripture, but this is what God desires for us. And if we do that, we'll find that relationships, whatever kind of relationship it is, will be working out as God planned it to be. You see, you cannot do that, you know, walking in love if you don't love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he says from this part. He says, you need to love your neighbor like yourself. So you cannot say to God, God, I love you, or to anyone else, I love you, if you can't love the person next to you. You know what your neighbor is? Your neighbor is that person closest to you. So in some senses, your wife, your husband, you know, that's your first neighbor. That's the one that's closest to you, the closest person to you. So you cannot say, God, I truly love you if I cannot love my neighbor, the person closest to me. And so before we can, you know, do anything else like dating or marriage or parenting, we have to do discipleship right. That's the bottom line. And that's why I want to start off by that. I think it's good to give that foundation. If you are seeking the Lord, if you are seeking to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ, then the things will work out much differently than when you try to do it without that. And I tell you, you know, just honestly from my heart, marriage has been one of the hardest things in my life. Not because of my wife, not because of Redri, but because of what marriage entails. You know, marriage gives you the great opportunity to die to self. That's what marriage does. That's the one thing God designed like that, to work like that. Marriage makes you, it puts two people together and for a reason so that we can change. And you know what? I've never realized how selfish I was until I got married today. I always thought, no, I'm not such a bad guy. And then as you get married, as you are together for a while, you see all these things that are so, you're like, how's it going to be? And someone has to die always. It's about dying to self. That's the thing that God wants to do in us. And so it's a great opportunity. Although it may be hard sometimes, it is worth it. And so today, you know, I look back at everything that's happened so far, and it has been the greatest blessing in my life. I tell you, the best thing that ever happened to me is that I got married. God would have never been able to work in me like He is working in me if I didn't have that challenge. If I didn't have to die to myself, if I didn't have to, you know, focus on what God wants for the relationship, for the marriage. And so, marriage is part of God's design to grow us spiritually, to teach us true agape love, and to make us disciples. I truly believe it's part of God's plan. You can still grow like that as a single person, sure, but there's a different dynamic that comes in because you are faced with a person every day when you are married. And so the dying to self is so important. And you know, I know a lot of people, you know, when I say this, they're like, well, dying, you know, doesn't sound very appealing to me. You thought you were going to get your, you know, get a pep talk about marriage, like, you know. No, this is where it has to start. I know it doesn't sound very appealing, but dying is so important. Although it doesn't sound appealing, it cannot be appealing if you're not regenerated by the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things that's almost like a proof. If you're not changed by the Holy Spirit inside, you know, no one can say, well, it's, you know, I really want to die to myself. I find that quite appealing. And then you also find all the relationships that you're going to try and have in any kind of way is going to be difficult if you do not have the Lord in that. The Lord is so important. Luke 9:23-24, Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. You see, that's the problem. Most people, they want to love themselves. They want to save their lives. Most people want to live for themselves. They do not want to die for themselves. And then we wonder why the world is in a condition like it is. Why does marriages not work? Why does relationships so difficult? Because we're not willing to die to ourselves. Because it's all about me, you see. I'm the favorite person in my life, and I just want things to suit me. And that's why as we're going to be start talking about dating and all those things, we're going to be looking at that because that is the core problem. If we truly have the agape love of God, it changes all of that. And, you know, the fact that people want to live for themselves, that is all plan of Satan. That's Satan's plan. Now, as we looked at God's design, if you want to take note, number three there, I want to look quickly at Satan's plan before we get into the dating thing. And then you can look up Matthew 7 so long. Matthew 7 from verse 13. Just get the place there so long. You see, Satan hates God. Satan hates God's people. He hates everything about God. And you know what? Satan wants to try and make you as miserable as he can. So if God has got a design, we've seen now that, you know, love is from God, and we've seen how God wants to use love. And so that's God's design for us. Now what Satan wants to do is he wants to try and turn the whole thing exactly around, 180 degrees. If God says, that's how I designed it, that's how perfectly I made it, Satan says, well, let's do it like that. And that, in that way, in doing that, he can make you as miserable as he possibly can. You see, everything that God designed and created for us is good, and Satan wants to turn it around because to suit himself. And I want to tell you, seriously and sincerely, you cannot have a great marriage or be a great parent by following some kind of 5-point plan. You cannot. It's not just, well, let me just get all these things right. You know, I'm just going to do all these things, I'm going to get it right, and I'm going to have a good marriage. It's not going to work like that. You see, you cannot be a disciple by adding a few Christian, you know, ideas and expressions to your secular life. Like people out there who don't have Christ as their center, it doesn't help what you give them. It's not going to fix it because marriage is of God. These things are of God. It's made. Love is the center. It has to be a godly love. That's where you have to start. And what you want to know today is our way of thinking today is so far removed from Scripture. We are so far removed from Scripture. And I'm sorry that I'm starting off so serious, but nothing else will make sense without this. If we just think, look at what the Bible truly says. I know a lot of you are going to be shocked today. But I tell you, we are so far removed from what God has because we've been largely programmed by the culture. And who is the one who is infiltrating and infusing the culture? Satan. Because he hates the things of God. And he knows God's plan will work because God designed to work in a certain way. And he wants to come and change everything around, everything that he can. And it gives him a sort of a weird delight to, you know, just change the things that, to influence the things like that that God has made. Today, unfortunately, because we're so far removed from what Scripture teaches, when we actually teach what Scripture says, you know, people are like, that's crazy. That just sounds ridiculous. Read with me there in Matthew 7, verse 13. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. So we see in that there's one gate. That gate is narrow. That gate is Jesus. Then there's another gate. The gate is huge. It's everything else. Everything else besides Jesus. That's the two options. It's Jesus, a very narrow gate, and then this huge other gate that includes everything else besides Jesus. That is the options. And so today, you know, we have to be saved by Jesus, right? At least the evangelical world still agrees on that part. Because it's so important. You can only come to God through Jesus Christ. Matthew 7 verse 21 reads on there a bit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know what this means? It means everyone who does not entirely confess the Lord. In every area of their life, it says there, everyone who does not do that and does the will of the Father, he will go to hell. He says there's a narrow gate. Very few people will find that. Very few people will get onto that. And those people that said, Lord, Lord, there are many people today that said, Lord, Lord. And there's going to be a day of judgment one day coming where he says, all these people will say, Lord, Lord to me, but only the ones who truly did the will of my Father in heaven. They will be the ones who are accepted in heaven. They will truly be my children. There are many people who are deceived. And I think this is important for us to notice here. Because today, you know, the problem is the evangelical world today does proclaim a narrow gate. They do say, yes, you have to come to Jesus only. But you know what they do then? Then they proclaim a broad road. Like, you have to come through this narrow gate, Jesus. And then if you're through Jesus, man, you can do whatever you want. Then they proclaim this broad road. Like, all these other things are fine. You can do the things just as the world does them. You know, but you can just put a Christian label on it and then it will change everything. No. You see what the Bible says? It says a narrow gate and a difficult road. a small road. It's not a broad road. You don't come through the small gate and then you enter this broad road where you can just do everything like the world. And it's not about can do. It's about you don't want to do it like that. That's not God's will. And I don't want any one of you one day to come to that place where you say, Lord, Lord, didn't I know you? And I gave all these things to you. And God says, well, I never knew you. That is going to be a difficult thing. And so watch out that we go through the narrow gate and keep on a narrow road. And there's a reason why I'm saying this, because I'm aware of Satan's plan. One of the main things that Satan attacks is family. He attacks marriage because it represents the church and Christ. The church is a representation of the bride of Christ, and Jesus is the bridegroom. And therefore, Satan hates that whole thing. He wants to break up marriages. And he gives us a broad road. He says, yeah, it's fine if you say it by Jesus, but then just look at all this stuff, you know? Just do it as the world does it. Doing everything that the world does and just putting a Christian label on it is not going to change, make it right at all. And so I think that's why many people struggle with marriage, why many people struggle with these things, because they try and live a Christian life according to the world's things. They want to do things like the world does them, but they just want to label it as Christian. I want to tell you, just wearing a Christian t-shirt, right, doesn't make you radical, doesn't make you saved, doesn't change you. That's not what does it. It's that inward working and that obedience to God's word. And so Ephesians 5 verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And so if you are going to walk pleasing Jesus because he is your Lord, you know, you will be opposed by everything else in the world. Do you realize that? Everything else. If you truly want to stay on that narrow way after you've gone in through the narrow gate, everything that this world offers will be in opposition to you. It will be in contradiction to you. You're going to have a hard time like that. And so, in understanding now, we've looked at what love is, what God's design is. We've sort of looked at what Satan's plan is, that he wants to turn everything upside down. I think now we can move on and we can look at dating, the first thing that we really want to talk about today. So you can look up in your Bible so long, 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I've always liked girls. What can I say? From the first day that I got to school, you know, I've only had one fight in my whole school career, and that was in grade one over a girl, you know. So I've always just liked girls, and I like most guys, you know, you are made like that. God made you a certain way to like girls, and God made girls to like boys. And so, but, you know, like most, if not all people, I totally got my idea of what dating is all about from the world around me, from the culture around me. You know, I just, this is the way it works. This is the way everyone is doing it, you know. So we're going to do things the way that we see it portrayed and the way that we see it modeled all around us. And you know what? I never even for one moment thought or considered to look in the Word of God. For what does God say about dating? What does God say about these things? Does God have any kind of plan? Is God got certain like a standard or a thing that he wants to give us on dating? For me, it was just, I didn't even think of it. It's like, you know, this is what you do. You know, you pursue a girl and that's the way that works. And sort of, if I look back, you know, I recall my first date that I can remember with a girl when I was in standard 7. I took her out to a movie, right? Top Gun. Don't do that. There's all the sins of the past coming at you now. So, this is a girl that many people liked, and I got a date with her, and I took her out to see Top Gun in the movie. I can't believe, you know, that I would. It's like not what you do. Anyway, so we went, and, you know, I was very much into airplanes, so it's a really attractive movie for me, but I wasn't really thinking much about the movie. My whole focus was just building enough courage, you know, to take the girl's hand. We're sitting in the movie and starting to sweat, and, you know, it's the whole thing. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, and it's sort of because that is what I perceived as the way that you do things. I mean, that's the way everyone, all my peers around me, that's the way they did it, you know. So eventually, you know, I made my way all the way over there and I grabbed her hand, and it was like this weird, awkward thing all the way through the movie. And then afterwards, I was like, yeah, you know, I conquered, you know, I sort of did what I was supposed to do. And then the Monday at school, you know, this girl totally ignored me, and she gave me this long letter and she told me, you know, she doesn't want to get serious about anything right now. And, you know, that was to me such a shock, you know, because I thought, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, right? I'm doing the right thing. And I don't know what this girl's dad told her about boys, but he was probably right. You know, it's like she did the right thing. She totally did the right thing. But for me, it was such a shock to me. It's like, you know, what do you mean getting serious? You know, I don't want to get serious. You know, it's like you see, that's the whole problem. That is the whole problem that starts right there. Is I didn't want to be serious about this. I just wanted to date the girl because, you know, to have fun, to have enjoyment. To me, it was not a serious thing. And I think that's where the main focus comes in right from the beginning. And if I look back at it now, you know, I feel ashamed about the things that I did. I was messed up for years after that, you know. And I think that's maybe just the way that God sort of protected me, which is a good thing. Because to me, you know, I just thought, you know, what do you mean by not getting serious? I only wanted to hold your hand kind of thing, you know. And at that stage, I want to tell you, I didn't have the foggiest idea of what God's plan was for dating or for marriage because no one ever told me, right? And so that's why I think it's so important that we do this teaching that you can hear it from your pastor, because I wish I had a pastor that told me these things. I mean, I would have, you know, saved so much heartache and pain and frustration in my life if I knew these things, you know, from the beginning. And that's why I think we should really look at what the Word of God says about this. What is God's plan for dating? Because I just didn't know. No one told me. Proverbs 6:25 says, especially for the guys, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. Very important scripture, Song of Solomon 8 verse 4. Says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. Meaning, don't start this thing until it's the right time to start it. You know, because the culture has changed so much. These days, kids are exposed to so much through the media that they are ready for the things that are not supposed to be ready at a very early age already. And so they walk around with this frustration for years because today we've sort of added this new area in life. Because you used to be a boy and then you used to go over and be a man. That was it. Today we've got this adolescence that sort of spreads out forever, you know. And people get married in their 30s. They're like sort of in between a kid and an adult somewhere. And I don't know where society ever got to that, but it's like a weird thing. And all that time, you live with all this frustration because, you know, you are made for certain things and you desire to have love and you desire to have that person, but the time is not right. And so you sit with all this frustration inside of you, and that's a big problem. But I want to tell you, so write this down. This is very important. There is no such thing as recreational dating in Scripture. I want to say this again. There's no such thing as recreational dating in Scripture. You will not find that. It's not a concept that exists in Scripture. And I think a teaching like this, like I said, could have saved me so much pain and so much trouble and so much heartache in my life. And I know many of you will say, whoa, just stop there for a moment. What are you basically telling me now? Well, think about it biblically. Think about it biblically. Why do you want to date someone if you're not intending to marry them? Why do you pursue someone if your intention is not marriage? Let me tell you why. First of all, the lust of the flesh. That's the first reason why you want to do that. To satisfy the lust of the flesh through immorality or through entertainment. Secondly, to satisfy your selfish passions and needs. Even if they're good. Even if you say, well, I just want someone to talk to. I want someone to share some things with. That's still, whatever passion it may be, if your intention is not marriage, you know, why do you want to do that with someone? That is the whole question. And I think we have to look at it biblically because it's all got to do with selfishness. I want something. And I want to try and get that to please myself. See, and this is how we go into dating and then eventually it becomes marriage and eventually it becomes frustration because it's all about me. This is what I want. That's why I date people. That's why, I mean, I look back at my life and one of the things I regret most is the relationships that I got involved in. I wish someone gave me biblical counsel in those days. And so, you're saying to me, well, so what you're telling me, I can't date? Well, biblically speaking, if you're not intending marriage with that person, there's no such thing, there's no concept like that in the Scripture for dating. Because that's why earlier people even choose mates for their kids. Because up until a certain age, then they turn into adults and then they could get married. We live in a weird society, and I want you to notice, first of all, that we are so influenced, not just by the media is overwhelming, but by the culture around us. And we live according to the culture around us, not according to what God tells us in Scripture. And so I know this is sort of very foreign to what we're saying here this morning. But remember what love is. Remember what we just spoke about. What is love? Love is a self-sacrifice giving thing. It's not a self-getting, this is what I want for myself. Like I said, remember Satan's plan. That's exactly the opposite way around. You see, God made us to give to one another. Satan says, no, no. Try and get from one another. Try and get what you can. And so the whole picture is switched the wrong way around. That is Satan's plan. And you say, well, you know, I'm in love. I just can't help it. I just fell in love. And there's nothing I can do about it. Okay? So, why? Well, you know, she's beautiful. Okay? You know, anything more than that? Well, you just, you know, I can talk to her for hours. You know, the thing that girls always say, well, he completes me, you know, just like that perfect guy. Is that the right reasons? Because look at the reasons, it's all selfish. It's like, I like to look at her, you know, he completes me, it's all about me, it's what I want, and I found something that pleases me, right? That's what it's all about. If you think about it like that, if you think about it biblically. And so, you want to be with them basically because they satisfy all your selfish desires, right? That's the reason. Does that sound like the love that we spoke like about in the beginning? God's love, agape love, a giving love? No, it doesn't sound like that at all. And so, this is a whole different thing. What happens, I want to tell you now, I want to ask you now, if she's not beautiful anymore? What happens if someone more beautiful comes along? What happens if you just can't talk to them now? Something happens and you just can't have this talking with them that you want to have with them. What if you find that he doesn't complete you anymore? What then? You see, that's the things we don't think of in the beginning. What happens then is you say, well, cheers, I'm out of here. And there's no commitment in that whatsoever. It's saying like, I'm into this as long as I can get pleasure and satisfaction in my selfish desires out of this, but as long as that doesn't cover me, then I'm out of here and there's no long-term commitment. You see, God never made it to be like that. God never intended it to be for us a selfish thing. He made it for us to be an enjoyable thing. He made it for us something to be giving each other in love so that He can change us and grow us in agape love, that He can change our minds and renew us according to the Word of God. God never made it to be something for us to destroy ourselves and just to get what we can out of it. You see, falling in love is not even a biblical concept. There's nothing like falling in love, okay? You can fall into lust. That's a biblical concept, but you cannot fall into love. It's not something you fall into. Love is a commitment that you make. I wonder if you can look at your own life. Just look at your own life for a moment and think how much of your life is defined by the Word of God and how much of your life is defined by the culture around you. Think about the decisions that you make in your life. How much of what you do can you say, well, you know, let me just show you this verse. This is why I dress this way. Let me just show you another verse. This is why I date this way. Let me show you another verse. This is why I do this way. Is that what you can you do that with your life? Or do you just go, well, I'll do these things because, you know, that feels right. That feels good to me. That's what I see around me. How much of your life, you know, is founded in Scripture? That's something I love about my wife. She's got Scripture for everything, you know. It's just so great. She always goes, you know, what does the Bible say? And I think that's the way that we should model our lives. Whatever we want to do, we want to say, I do this because this is what it says in Scripture. That's why I do what I do. And so love, according to Scripture, is not something you fall into. Love, according to Scripture, is a commitment to love and to serve this one person all their days, whether they deserve it or not. You think about that. That's what love is according to God. That's what true agape love is. And I want to tell you, the single people, I know it's a difficult thing. And I know, I mean, I screwed up in my life. I wish I had this beforehand so that I could change my life. But do you realize that if you are sharing with another person, whether it is physically or sexually or even emotionally, if you are sharing with someone else the things that are dear to you, And that is not going to be your husband or your wife one day. Then you are in actual fact sharing that with someone else's wife or husband. Do you realize that? That is how serious it is. If you are just, well, we're just talking, you know, and you just share your heart with all these things. If you just lay out all these things, you're doing it with someone else. You're fooling around with someone else's wife or husband. That's what you're doing. You're not supposed to be sharing and giving yourself until you find that one person where you can give this to, because that's the way God made it. You're not supposed to be walking around and doing it like that. Like I said, I think the things that I regret most in my life is the relationships that I got involved in. The Lord protected me majorly, amazingly, if I look back in my life, over many. But then sometimes, you know, I was just so stubborn. It's just what I wanted. And you know, I made my way through. And I'm just so sorry about that. You see, once you're connected intimately with a person, whether it's sexually or intimately, just by sharing, just by the things that, once there's that connection, you know, there's a bond. I want you to know there's a bond. And that thing is always there. Even when you're married, you know, the enemy is a great way of sometimes bringing these things back into your mind. Oh, remember that. And you're like, take that away. I don't want to think about that. There's a bond between you and that person. And that's why it's so important for us to realize when we're dating, we don't want to make bonds with people that are not in. We can be nice and friendly with people, but we don't want to share anything intimate with anyone that's not going to be our wife or our husband one day. Because otherwise you are just creating some, you're lining yourself up for trouble in your marriage. Because if you're not marrying that person, like I said, you're fooling around with someone else's spouse. That is serious. So let's look here at what 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18 says. It says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, we belong to God. He made us. When His Spirit dwells in us, we become a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not your own. You're not out there to satisfy yourself, because you're not living for yourself. We are bond servants of Christ. We are living to please Him. We are living, and the whole focus should be to grow in godliness, to grow in understanding of the Lord, to grow in true agape love. That's what it's all about. And so dating with no intention of marriage, someone said, it's like clothes shopping with no money. You either leave frustrated or you take something that's not yours. You know? And I think only the girls get this, it seems to me. Guys are not into the shopping. But that's exactly what it is. There is no biblical description of something like that, dating without intention of marriage. But let's just look at some practical tips. You can also, while we're looking at that, you can look up Psalm 119 verse 9. We're going to be looking at that too. Some practical tips, because a lot of people are like, what are you saying to me? You know, what am I supposed to do? It's like, how can I not date? Go out in a group or get to know someone that you may be interested in. You know, when you want to sort of check out something, you know, checking out for the marriage material that, you know, that Proverbs 31 wife, or you want to find your husband, you want to sort of do it in a group. You want to see how they react in a group with a lot of people. And the thing is, what I want to say to you, as soon as there's that connection, as soon as that connection is starting, you know what I'm talking about, as soon as something is starting to happen there, then you are becoming more involved with that person on some kind of level. And if you are connected with someone, no matter how far, I mean, I know I'm speaking, you know, to us today that are living according to the world in many senses. But if there is a connection between you and a person, whether it's the initial connection or whether it's a much more deeper connection, the moment that you realize, this person is not my husband, or this person is not my wife, the moment that you realize that, you must get out of there. You must be serious. You must be upfront with him. You must be honest. You must tell him, listen, sorry, you know, this is not. I know people who are just going on and things. They know this is not the girl they're going to marry, and they just keep going on and on and on. If you think about that, that girl belongs to another man maybe. That's God's plan for someone else. And so the moment that you realize, listen, this is not the person that God has for me, get out of there. Don't continue going on in that. And I know it sounds crazy, you know, it's sort of living in a culture and a society like today. But remember, the Bible says it's a narrow way. It's not a broad way. We're not living like the world. It's a very, very narrow way. You know, I remember a girl saying to me when I was a matric, she said to me, you know, you're not the kind of guy that girls date. You're the kind of guy that they marry. And I was thinking, well, she meant it as a great compliment. I was just thinking, like, what? What do you mean? Like, what must I do in the meantime? You know, I've got... I'm in matric, you know? So what am I supposed to be doing? You know what? You're supposed to be preparing for marriage. That's what you're supposed to be doing. I remember being so shocked. You know, I think she meant it cool nice, but to me it was just like, what am I supposed to do, you know? And I think many of you may feel like that if I tell you like dating is not a biblical concept. You may feel like that, but you know what? That's the time to prepare yourself for marriage because God has someone special for you. You know, I think also, you know, that's just the way. God just sort of kept me from so much stuff. I think it's just the way He protected me. Sometimes I felt frustrated with it. I'm like, God, just let me loose, you know. So I just also want to experience some of the things in the world. I'm so glad that God held on to me because He knew what people are capable of. He knew what I was capable of. And I would just run off, you know, and find myself in a terrible life. It'd be so easy, you know. He protected me from myself, from my selfish desires, from my lusts, because He knew, you know, what is so easy to happen. And I think the thing that kept me oftentimes throughout my life, I'm one of those guys who only got married in my 30s, right? So I had a long, long frustrated life before that. But if I think, you know, what God did in me to protect me, oftentimes, I want to give this to, you know, just think about this before you consider dating. Is first of all, you know, what is God's will? God was always very important to me. I always thought, like, what is God's will for my life? If you know what God's will is for your life, that's what we talk about this morning. If you know this is God's will and you want to please God, then you're going to have a problem. You're either going to please yourself or you're going to please God. So you're going to say, Lord, what is your will for my life? Secondly, I also find that considering the consequences beforehand, that's one of those things I think that God just gave me. I realize not many people do that, but I was just always thinking, like, where is this going to end? You know, if I do this, if I date this person, if I do on this, where is it going to end? Where is this going to lead to? What's going to happen at the end of that? And I think it's important to think about these things, you know, in the beginning. Is this going to go to what place is this going to go? If I start doing this now, am I going to be able to stop this? You know, I think those are important things to consider. I want to tell you sincerely, don't start something you can't finish. And as a Christian, there are many things you can't finish according to the world, right? So first of all, if a girl is not a Christian or a boy is not a Christian, don't even think about for a moment of dating them. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's something that God gave us very straightforwardly. So don't even think about it. Because you're going to just, you know, put so much stuff on yourself that's unnecessary. Don't start something you can't finish. Also, don't finish something that you're not supposed to finish, all right? And so oftentimes that's what stopped me. When I was traveling, it's something that I saw when young guys go overseas, at least I was older. I think it's a bad thing for young people to go overseas because suddenly they're all out there by themselves. They can do whatever. No one's watching them. There's no accountability, and I've seen, well, many, 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 many guys. Good guys. Some of them who love the Lord, and they just threw their whole lives away. They started living in immorality, the sin got hold of them, and they just seem never to get out of that again. And I tell you, that's what God does not want for you. God's got a good plan for you. The thing is, you have to realize that everything that you partake in this world impacts your life, and ultimately, it impacts your marriage. Every single relationship, every single thing that you do, it's not just going to impact your life, it's going to impact your marriage eventually. It's going to be something that the enemy can use against you. And so every time that you watch a movie, every time you go into the internet, every time that you give yourself to something that you're not supposed to give yourself, you are impacting not only your life, but your marriage. When we were at the conference, I just remember, you know, they gave all the stats. Josh McDowell was there the one day. And he gave all the stats. And it's just crazy. It's just crazy about how many men and women today are just enslaved to pornography. That's just crazy. And I want to tell you that if you do that, if you give your eyes, whatever you see, even if it's not pornography, even if you watch most of the secular movies out there, they've got a certain way. This is how the world works. That's what they tell you. And those things you are going to take into your marriage one day. Every single thing that you see is going to impact your marriage. It's going to drag you away from God's plan for your marriage. And then people wonder why they struggle so much. Well, we're just not compatible. Because we are taught to live for ourselves, to get what we can out of it, and then they just get out of there. You see, we live in one of the most lustful and exposed times in history. And I want to tell you, it's not that people are worse than they've ever been. People are the same. It's just the opportunities today is just innumerable. I mean, the media today, it's so easy. I mean, at least still when I was a boy, which is not that long ago, you know, it was hard for you to find something like pornography. It was just about impossible for you. Praise God. Today is one click away. Right? Today is just accessible. And not because the people are still just as bad as we've always been, but because all this stuff is so freely available, it's a very, very difficult time. I think in all of history, it's probably the most lustful and exposed time. And we are living in hard days, especially as a single person and even a married person. And young people, you know, single people, I want to tell you that you cannot be strong enough to do something that God already told you not to do. Right? So sometimes we say, well, you know, I'll be fine. I'll be strong enough. If God already said, don't do that, that's not my plan for marriage, for dating, then don't try and do that because you're not going to have the strength of God in that. He's not going to supply you with the strength if He already said to you, do not do that, don't go there. That's important for you to realize. Let's look quickly there at Psalm 119, verse 9. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. That's something that we should do. We should hide God's word in our heart that we may not sin against Him. We should live for Him. And I tell you, I have had many weird situations in my life where God just supernaturally protected me because I was in the Word. You know, to great extents. I don't want to go into all the details because, you know, there's great and bad things in my life in the past. But God seriously protected me. And that's why I say if he or she, the person that you intend to date or marry, is not a Christian, don't even think about it because it's not in God's plan. Now, I've just got lastly got some things here for the guys and some things for the girls. First of all, for the guys, you know, God has made the man the spiritual leader in the house, in the home, in the marriage. That's God's design. That's how He designed it. And so if you can't start doing that now already, then don't think you're going to end up doing that one day when you're married. You're going to have to be the one who says, listen, okay, I'm not going to take you there. We're not going to do that because, you know, I'm the spiritual leader. Guys have got this because, once again, from the world, you sort of pursue and pursue until a girl finally says, no, stop, you know, then you sort of try and stop there. That's not the way to do it. The guy is supposed to be the one leading. He's supposed to be the spiritual head, and you have to start practicing that already. Also, like we just read, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 to 20, your body does not belong to yourself. If Christ is dwelling in your heart, you belong to Christ. You do not belong to yourself. You cannot live for yourself. The Bible says, flee sexual immorality. That is important to do that. You know, and temptation, we know, is such a huge thing, especially in the life that we are living today. And so for guys, determine your boundaries beforehand. Decide, think about these things beforehand. Determine exactly what the boundaries will be. While you're sober, meaning while you're not in temptation, that's the worst time to try and figure what you're going to do. Don't do it then. Do it while you are outside of all of that, where it's just you and the Lord. Decide, listen, this is my boundaries. This is what I'm going to do according to God's word. I won't go any further than that. Because once you're in temptation, then your reasoning isn't working anymore, right? Then you reason in a whole different way. Then your boundaries just stretch like elastic bands. And so, I also want to tell the guys, you know, the whole swimsuit thing, you know, that doesn't work. Meaning by that is like the boundaries. Like I've had a dormy tell me, you know, that it's fine as long as you don't touch anything that the swimsuit covers. You know, I'm like, what? It sort of depends on what kind of swimsuit she's wearing, first of all, right? It's not like girls wear like the swimming costumes of the 30s anymore, you know, or whatever. It's like, I can't believe that. But I mean, in that, that's something that, that makes your life difficult, especially if authority figure tells you something like that. You're like, okay. But the problem is, you know, people always like to get as close to the fence as they can. You know, so if you have to decide about your boundaries beforehand. Because at the moment, it's just so easy to stumble over a little stone, you know, and you're over the boundary the next thing you see. And so that's why you have to think about these things. I'm speaking especially to the guys. You know, stay as far away from the fence as you can, you know. The Bible says, do not awaken love before the right time. You don't want to do that. You know what? If you've taken a step, it is so hard to take that step back. If you've taken a couple of steps, it's just almost impossible to come back. So you must go very slowly, because otherwise it's very difficult to get back. You probably won't make it. I've ended one relationship in my life because I realized, well, I just can't control this. And I've taken a step that I can't take back. And I'm like, I have to get out of this. Praise the Lord for that. You have to do that. You see, don't also listen to the voice of those people that the enemy may use as instruments to work in you, like your buddies. Don't listen to your buddies' advice ever. Right? I had buddies in the army who were Christians. And, I mean, if I listened to their advice, you know, my life would be messed up now, totally. Like I said, even I had a Dermany tell me something like that, give me bad advice. Sort of the Dermany stretched my boundaries from where my boundary was. He's like, no, you can lower it quite a bit. I'm like, whoa. You know? And then that just, you open yourself up. You don't want to do that. When temptation lies at your door, you know, do what Joseph did. Run, Forrest, run. When you are in temptation, Joseph is the perfect example. Run. He fled. He fled temptation. He left his clothes right there and just ran, you know. And he is a biblical example to us. That's what the Bible calls us to do. Don't stick around and see if you can be strong enough. Well, I'm just going to, you know, see this one through. You know, I have the strength. No, you don't. Like I said, God will not supply you the strength for the things you're not supposed to be doing. So do like Joseph. When temptation comes, run. And I want to tell you that if you keep pushing against God's design, if you keep pushing against God's barriers, there may be a time where God says, well, you know, you just do what you want to do. Obviously, you don't want to do my thing. So, and that's a sad day when God gives you over to do the things that you want to do. I tell you. I'm so thankful that God stopped me. God always did the most amazing things to stop me going through with what I wanted to do. And I thank Him for that. I think it's important because, you know, guys always go like that. They see how far they can push things. It's sort of in their nature, you know. And then one day, if you keep pushing against what God wants you to do, you'll find a girl who just says yes. She doesn't say no. And then you've got a problem, right? Because you didn't train yourself in marriage before and you didn't train yourself to be the spiritual leader. That's the important thing. It can happen in a blink of an eye. I want to be clear as your pastor because I never had a pastor who was clear with me from the Word of God. I tell you, that would have changed my life. I loved God with my whole heart. There are many mistakes I made because I didn't get the right counsel, even from spiritual authorities. And I want to tell you very clearly that, you know, sex before marriage is out. That's totally out. It's just abomination in God's eye. And by sex, I do not mean just intercourse. That's sort of what people think, you know, when they think about sex. That's what I thought about sex when I was young. Sort of you think, well, that's the only deed that constitutes sex. No, sex is much more than that, you know. Sex actually starts, you know, with kissing, with that kind of thing, with emotions. It starts at a whole different level. And so you have to watch out. It also includes, especially for the guys, the single guys, you know, it includes self-sex, you know, something like masturbation. If you can do that without getting your mind, then you can probably do it. But I mean, I don't know who can do it with that. You know, it's all your mind. It's your mind that sins against God. You don't want to commit in anything that you want to find offensive, you know, to God. And so my advice for you is read the Word. Be in the Word. Read Proverbs daily. I tell you, it's one of the best things that young guys and single guys can do is read Proverbs. It's a beautiful book that keeps on warning young guys to stay away from the things they're supposed to stay away from. And then also for the girls, I just wanted to say, first of all, Proverbs 4:23, speaking about Proverbs, a great verse. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Keep your heart. You have to watch over your heart. You know, so girls, if a guy doesn't submit to godly authority, you know, then he's a dangerous guy. That's one of the first warning signs. A guy that you want to date, that you want to make your husband one day, he must be able to submit to God's word, to godly authority. And you have to ask yourself questions like, is he really involved in a Christian community? You know, guys can do a lot of things just to try and get what they want. So you have to, is he really serving Christ? Is he really seeking Christ? Is he serving? You know, what kind of heart does he have? Is he teachable? Does he get angry? Does he argue a lot? Is he looking out for himself? Is he into his own thing? Those are questions you have to ask. And then I've got a couple of things here that I found that's, you know, this is not mine, but I want to read it to you. It's really good. It says, girls, if he doesn't spend time with God, he's got no business spending time with you. And so that's a good one. If he's not a man after God's heart, then he's got no business having your heart. Make sure he knows that your father is a king and that you must be treated accordingly. If a man isn't faithful to God, don't expect him to be faithful to you. Also, don't open your heart to a man who doesn't open his Bible. And it's fine if a guy pays for you, but stay with a guy who prays for you. That's what this person said. Before you walk down the aisle, make sure that he is walking with God. And let God make a man out of him before you make a husband out of him. You see, it's just a couple of practical things that I found that I thought is really just good for this study on dating. It's important for us to see God's will. And the thing is, if this guy that you intend to date is not interested in praying and worshiping with you, you know, if he's not interested in studying and memorizing scripture with you, it means he isn't truly transformed in his heart. You know, a guy can tell you, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I love Jesus. But it's his actions that will show you if it's truly what's happening in his life. If he's truly transformed on the inside, there will be the Holy Spirit dwelling in him and some things will be coming out that are good and that you can look for. And so a guy that isn't leading you towards the Lord is only leading you towards himself, and that is probably the most selfish thing that anyone can do. Like I said, going back to the devil's plan, selfishness. And so I know today was quite a shock because this is just not what the world proclaims. This is not what we used to for most of our lives. I mean, we grew up in like the TV age, right? And just think about today. Today we live in the internet age. It is a terrible place to stay in. And so you may say, there's a couple of ways that you may respond today. You may say, well, that's just ridiculous, you know. I can't go along with something that's this archaic and this, it just sounds like. And the thing is, you know, it's up to you. You have to realize it's up to you to take God's word like I gave it to you today and to say, like, Lord, I wanna do what you want. Or just to do what you want. It's your own. I can't force anyone to do God's will. Also, you maybe say, well, I'm glad I'm married, like, you know, I'm glad I'm not doing this dating thing anymore, you know. Well, we're getting to you next week, okay? And then the third one is you may be saying, like, okay, I see what God says. I want to do God's will. I want to lay down my life. I want to learn how to have true agape love that serves, not a love that tries to get for myself. And I'll tell you what, you'll be blessed. I always tell everyone who comes to me for marriage counseling, if you honor God before marriage, he will honor you in marriage. It's one of those things. Don't expect you're going to live your life like a wild, crazy person and then one day get married and everything's just going to be great. No, you're going to bring all that stuff into that marriage. If you're not married yet, you are busy preparing for marriage. If you have gone over the age of a boy and you are now a man, whether it may be 13 or 12 or whatever, you know, you're supposed to be a man, be preparing for marriage. I want to close just by reading to you two scriptures that just puts the clincher on this for me, Matthew 6:33, one of my favorite verses, says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, it's so interesting because just when I started liking Redry, you know, things were difficult. This also because of the Lord. But she gave me this verse. She's like, Matthew 6:33, there you go. I'm like, cool. I'm like, okay, cool, I know this verse. And then I went overseas for 3 years and the Lord ministered this verse to me in amazing ways that I never even knew. And I didn't know it had that many facets, but seek first the kingdom of God. You will add all the other things. You don't have to worry about all the other things that you are so worried about. Like, oh, will I find someone? Will this and will... No, don't worry about that. Worry about pleasing God. Worry about seeking God first. Second scripture I'm going to read to you there is Matthew 10:37-39. It's quite sobering. He says, "He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." This is serious. Like I said, there's a narrow gate and there's a narrow way. Don't be fooled by this world, because the enemy is the prince of the power of the air. He's the one orchestrating things in his world. He's telling you it's fine. You can be a Christian and do things just like the world. No, you cannot. Jesus says, you're going to say, "Lord, Lord," and I'm going to say, "I didn't know you." If you love anything more than God, you're not worthy of Him. Then you don't truly love Him with all your heart. You cannot be a Christian and live like the world. I want to say that very clearly. The thing is also, you don't belong to yourself, and you need to die to yourself. You need to serve God. Because you cannot impact the world if you are just like the world. We are called to be salt and light in this world. We are called to live for God's glory.